Well, turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John and chapter 16. And as you turn there, I have a question for you to think about. I want you to think about this question. Have you ever considered what it could cost you to wholeheartedly follow Jesus Christ? Have you ever considered what it could cost you to wholeheartedly follow Jesus Christ, to obey His Word, to honor Him with your obedience? Let me tell you about two men who did wholeheartedly follow the Lord and what it cost them. If you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, this is from the passage from that, on the morning of July 15th, 1555, at 9 a.m., two men were led to their execution at London's Smithfield in the reign of Bloody Queen Mary. They were condemned to be burnt alive as heretics. One was a young man of 19 called John Leaf. The other was about 45 years old, and his name was John Bradford. Among Bradford's final words at the stake were these: "Oh, England, England, repent." Turning to the young man who was to suffer with him, he said, "Be of good comfort, brother, for we shall have a happy supper with the Lord tonight." Then, embracing the wood of his execution, he repeated our Savior's words: "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it." Thus, says Fox in his Book of Martyrs, like two lambs, they both ended their mortal lives, being void of all fear. How in the world could they do it? They could do it because their faith was in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. It was Him alone they were devoted to. It was obedience to God's Word that they were devoted to, and they counted the cost and they paid the price with their lives. These are just two of so many people who have gone before us over the centuries, who paid the price with their lives. You may not pay the price with your life, but we're going to see as we enter chapter 16 of John's Gospel that Jesus was very clear with His disciples that to follow Him would be very costly. He didn't paint a picture of green pastures or a picture of the good life that would be theirs if they committed to following Him faithfully. He warned them. He was preparing them for what would come. He didn't tell them they'd be rich. He didn't tell them that everyone would love them. No, in fact, what we hear in the first few verses of chapter 16 may have shocked the disciples at first. It would be a wake-up call for them to consider the cost. This was not to scare them away. It was actually to have the opposite effect. It was to embolden them. It was to equip them. It was to encourage them, to prepare them. This is also here to prepare you. If your faith is in Jesus Christ and you're willing to contemplate what it may cost you to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ in this world and before this world, have you considered that following Jesus faithfully will not be easy? Maybe some of you know this personally. You've experienced it. That following Jesus faithfully is not easy because you've seen relationships that have become impossible to maintain because people won't have anything to do with you because you insist on believing in God's Word and obeying God's Word. Have you considered that following Jesus faithfully will not be a cakewalk, be a piece of cake, be easy. It will be challenging. It will be difficult. You will face persecution if you are faithful to live for Jesus Christ. I want you to look at John chapter 16, verses 1 through 7, and you can follow along with me in your Bible as I read. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version this morning, so follow along. Where Jesus says, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Chapter 16. Here in John's Gospel, begins with this reminder from Jesus that he'd been telling them all these things, which we saw back in chapter 15, and even before that, he'd been telling them these things to prepare them for the difficulties that they would face when they remained faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd told them that He is the true vine, and that believers are to abide in the vine, and that His Word is to abide in believers, and that His love is to abide in believers, and that believers are to love one another. All of that, He's equipping them, He's preparing them for the days that they would face persecution for their faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obediently abiding in Christ and loving one another is going to be critical for your strength of faith and your encouragement in Christ. Because as you also heard in chapter 15 when we were there, the world will hate you if you are a faithful follower of Jesus. It might shock you, but it shouldn't surprise you when you face persecution because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to honor Him and obey His Word. So with verse 1 here in chapter 16, Jesus tells the disciples why He's been saying all these things. Look at it again in your Bible where Jesus says, "I have said all these things," pointing back again, "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away." Following Jesus is going to be a costly matter for all who accept the challenge of faithfully and obediently abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ means that you believe and obey His Word. You ought to want to abide in Christ. You ought to want to believe and obey His Word. It means that you read His Word. It means that you commune with Him in prayer. You talk to God about your whole life, about every situation, all kinds of things throughout your day. Constantly you talk to God in prayer. You ask for His will to be done in your life and in the lives of those people you pray for. You pray for Him to be glorified. You pray for strength to show grace in the face of opposition for your faith. And as you abide in Him, Jesus wants you to be prepared for the difficulties that will come when you obey Him, no matter what the world is doing around you. He doesn't want you to be surprised. He doesn't want you to be so discouraged that you lose heart. He doesn't want you to lose hope. He doesn't want you to fail to trust Him and to keep trusting Him come what may. And so He says to His disciples then, and He's saying to you and me now in the text of God's Word before us this morning, "I've told you all this to keep you from falling away." God's word is clear. Praise God for His word. He doesn't hide the truth from us. He tells us the truth. That ought to be a lesson to us, that we ought to tell the truth of God's word to the world that desperately needs to hear it, whether they like to hear the truth or not, whether they say they believe the truth or not. They need to know the truth of God's word. God's word is clear that godly people will be persecuted. Obedient believers will be persecuted. It says 2 Timothy 3:12, you need to hear this. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So it does you no good to pretend otherwise. God's word is honest with you. It is forthright with you. It sets an example about how you should live in this world, truthfully telling the truth about God's word, pointing to the truth of God's word, because it points to you as you prepare to live for Him, that you will be persecuted. It prepares you. It's not biblically honest to say that those who follow Jesus will live an undisturbed life because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And note how Jesus makes it plain for His disciples in verse 2 when He says, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. When I look at that, I kind of wonder what the disciples thought when they heard Jesus say that. Maybe what they said to Him when they heard Him say that. Did they say something like, we don't know, but I speculate, like, did they say something like, wait, Jesus, what did you say? And did Jesus say, what? Are you talking about me when I said they'd throw you out of the synagogue? And they're like, did they say, no, the thing about they'd kill us. What did you say? The part about killing us, did you mean that? I wonder how shocked they were when Jesus told them that there will be people who would kill them, thinking they're doing a service to God as an act of worship before God. They'll kill us? That's shocking, isn't it? But it's a prophetic word from Jesus Christ. It would come true. It's a prophetic word from Jesus that has repeatedly proved true throughout the centuries. Many believers who've gone before us have had their lives taken from them for their faith in Jesus Christ, and it is still happening today. Around the world, it still happens today. People who are faithful to Jesus Christ and have their lives taken from them for that. There are still faithful believers today who are giving their lives for their faith in obedience to Christ because they refuse to compromise the truth and go with the world. They respect and honor God so much that they insist on speaking the truth of the gospel to unbelievers and they give their lives for it. And that should not surprise us because Jesus makes it clear that it will be so. And sadly, as Jesus says in verse 2, those who persecute you will be so deceived that they will think that they're offering service to God. I'm doing God's work, they might say. They think they're taking the lives of Jesus' followers as a favor to God, as service to God. And this too has proved true over the centuries of Christendom. Who would do this? Who would do this and why, we might ask? Why would people do this to Christians whose only crime is not a crime, walking in obedience to Jesus and bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Says Jesus in verse 3, look at it again. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. They don't know the one true God. We heard Jesus say the same thing back in verse 21 of chapter 15. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. They do not know personally the one true God. They have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, and they don't believe in the one true God who sent him. Why does the world hate and persecute followers of Jesus Christ? We talked about it last week. In fact, Jesus came and spoke the truth of the gospel, which brought guilt to sinners who need to feel their guilt and realize that they need a Savior so that they'll repent of their sin and turn to Jesus in faith and be saved. And the world persecutes faithful believers for that same reason. Faithful believers in Jesus Christ bring guilt into the lives of sinners who need a Savior. And the world persecutes faithful believers because they are blinded by sin. They do not know God the Father. They do not know God the Son. And this blindness is not in the absence of truth. It's actually in the presence of truth. And this blindness is because of their rejection of the truth. It's a hardening of the heart spiritually. And the more someone continues to reject the truth, the harder their heart gets. We can hear this truth in 2 Corinthians 4:4, which says of unbelievers who reject the truth, in their case, the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Jesus Christ, the physical representation on earth of God in human flesh, going to the cross, suffering and dying for sinners, as we remembered this morning at the Lord's table. Jesus Christ brought the truth of salvation. He brought the truth of the gospel that forgiveness of sins were for those who give their lives to Him and trust in Him alone, through faith in Christ alone. Jesus Christ proclaims forgiveness of sins. What an incredible gift for all who repent of sin and trust in Him alone. He's guilty of no sin. He's guilty of no crime. And yet He was persecuted to the death. Many there are who reject this truth, who reject their need of a Savior, who reject that they are sinners, who need to be forgiven, and so they reject Jesus, the one who brings them this truth. They also reject believers and persecute faithful believers in Jesus who are representatives of Jesus Christ, who also bring them this truth. They reject believers who follow and obey Jesus, whose lives point to the truth of God's Word and how one should live before a holy and righteous God. And that's a sobering reminder about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to proclaim health and wealth. And be wary of preachers who proclaim health and wealth. If you will just give your life to Jesus, He will make you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Not necessarily. This is a sobering reminder about what it means to be a true follower of Jesus. Jesus came and He warned His followers that they must be prepared to suffer for the truth of the gospel, for their faith in Jesus Christ, for their obedience to God's Word. And God is still calling believers today to be prepared for persecution when they put their foot down and say, I will not reject the one true God. I will not reject His Word. I will not reject His Son. I must believe and obey God's Word. Jesus is warning us that we need to be prepared to be rejected for our faith in Him, even wounded for our faith in Him, and opposed even by family members and persecuted, and it's possible even killed for our faith in Jesus Christ and our obedience to Jesus Christ. Now, I have said all that, and God's Word says all that, so we can get to this point. But God. And just as we've seen before, Jesus does not leave us without hope. Might be a bit of a downer if I stopped right here. But Jesus does not leave us without hope. Repeatedly, Jesus tells us that He would send whom? The Helper. Why? Because you need help. I need help. Repeatedly, Jesus tells us that He would send the Helper, and all who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone receive, guess what? The Helper. God the Spirit, who moves in and takes up residence in the heart, life of the believer, present with you wherever you are, in every situation. All who place their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and forgiveness of sins receive the indwelling presence of God Himself. That's incredible. That's a miracle. It's so hard to wrap your head around that, isn't it? Me too. It's hard to understand that, isn't it? But it's true. God indwells His children and is with them to help them. So Jesus tells the disciples, look at verse 7 again, look at your Bible. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. In other words, this is important. When you hear Jesus saying, I tell you the truth, when people say that, when people who aren't God in human flesh say, let me tell you the truth, what do you do? You go, huh, oh, was everything else a lie then? Now you're going to tell me the truth? But when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, He's making a point. I know this firsthand. This is firsthand knowledge. Let me give you some firsthand knowledge. I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. That's a truth you need to cling to, that the Savior has given you the Spirit. God the Spirit, to indwell you, to be with you, to help you. That's encouraging. I need to be reminded of that every day. I think you need to be reminded of that every day. Jesus says, I will send Him to you. I will send the Helper. Back in verse 4, Jesus says that He had told them all these things, warning them that there would be persecution and even death for following Him. But He was also encouraging them that when the persecution comes, they would remember these things, they would remember these truths which He spoke to them, that when persecution comes, they would remember these things and take them to heart, things that He had told them earlier because He had been with them, but now He was preparing them for His crucifixion and for His physical, bodily absence. But He was not going to leave them without the Helper. And back in verse 1, He says, I'm telling you these things so that you will not fall away. Believer, there is no reason for you to lose your faith or fall away when you're persecuted for being obedient to God's Word. It ought to be a reminder that you have the promised Helper. I don't want you to lose faith. Keep trusting Me, even in persecution. It's sometimes easier to trust God when things are going great. Well, take advantage of those moments when things are going great to deepen your faith in Jesus Christ and that the Helper is with you for the trouble that comes when you obey God. The disciples didn't need to know all of this at first, but now He's preparing them as he's getting ready to leave them, they needed this encouragement. And now here we are in this world without the physical presence of Jesus, but we actually have something better. We have the indwelling presence of Christ to go with us, to be with us wherever we are. And we need this reminder that we have the Helper. And Jesus knew his disciples then needed that encouragement, and he knows you and I need this today. And so he's put it in his word. And God ordained that we would have these words to see, to remind ourselves with, to hide in our hearts, that we would not fall away, that we would not desert him, that we would not lose faith, that we would keep obeying no matter what. So now in verse 7, Jesus tells them again, and we've heard him tell them before, you will receive the Helper. I will send him to you. It was even a good thing that he would go away, says Jesus, because if he didn't go away, they wouldn't get the Helper. He wouldn't send the Helper if he hadn't gone away. They wouldn't get the Helper that would help them wherever they were, in whatever they face. And this is true for all believers in Jesus Christ today. What a blessed truth this is. How thankful later the disciples must have been when they did remember these things, realizing that as persecution came, they had the Helper to strengthen them in their faith and their walk with Christ. The Helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And we too should be thankful that Jesus ascended, and now all who trust in him have the indwelling and empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And when you begin to consider the cost of following Jesus, it's comforting to know that he has not abandoned you. In fact, he has done just the opposite. He indwells you. You are not alone to live for him in this world without his help. You have his help. How good of God to give his children his Spirit to live in them, to strengthen them, to empower them, to strengthen faith and obedience. This is so important that we understand that we have the power of Christ at work in us right now, in this moment, and in the moments to come when we need his help most. We are his. He keeps us. J.C. Ryle, whom I've quoted before, minister in the 1800s, he put forth four statements on why this was wise and right and true and very good, a very good thing that Jesus ascended and believers now have the Holy Spirit instead of the physical presence of Jesus. He says this, first, if Christ had not died, risen again, and ascended up into heaven, it is plain that the Holy Spirit could not have come down with special power on the day of Pentecost and bestowed his manifold gifts on the church. Mysterious as it may be, there was a connection in the eternal counsels of God between the ascension of Christ and the outpouring of the Spirit. Second, if Christ had remained bodily with the disciples, he could not have been in more places than one at the same time. The presence of the Spirit whom he sent down would fill every place where believers were assembled in his name in every part of the world. Third, if Christ had remained upon earth and not gone up into heaven, he could not have become a high priest for his people in the same full and perfect manner that he became after his ascension. He went away to sit down at the right hand of God and to appear for us in our human nature glorified as our advocate with the Father. And then finally, if Christ had always remained bodily with his disciples, there would have been far less room for the exercise of their faith and hope and trust than there was when he went away. Their graces would not have been called into such active exercises, and they would have had less opportunity of glorifying God and exhibiting his power in the world. What a wonderful truth. We don't ask for persecution, do we? We don't look forward to it, but do you realize it's an opportunity, as J.C. Ryle says? It's an opportunity to exercise your faith, to be obedient to the Lord, to glorify God, to exhibit his power at work in you as you keep obeying in the face of stiff opposition. You ought to count the cost of discipleship. Consider the cost of being a faithful and obedient believer in Jesus Christ. It is worth it. It is completely worth it. Will it be easy? No. But it is worth it. You ought not live under the illusion that you should have it easy as a Christian. It's a dangerous way to live, to think that when something bad happens, you cry out, the first thing you cry out, why me, God? We need to have our thinking changed so that when we're persecuted for our obedience to our Savior, we remember they persecuted Him too. To the death. And that was for my good. How gracious of God to pour out His just wrath on His sinless Son so that I didn't have to face His just wrath if my faith and trust is in Him alone. If you are Christ, you have the Helper. You have the Spirit of God at work in you to help you, encourage you, strengthen you, to help you exercise your faith. You have the Spirit of God to embolden your obedience. Praise God for the Helper. You have the Advocate with the Father. Praise God for the One who goes before you to the Father. When Satan brings an accusation against you, Jesus says, I paid for that. And yes, the cost of being a believer is high, but the cost of not following Jesus is much greater. So let me give you these words from 2 Corinthians 4:5, which help us remember whose we are and why we are here. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Don't ever forget it. And you have the Helper to help you be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of opposition when you are obedient to God's word. Be faithful.